This man needs medical attention.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
The old method of treatment for a person in this condition was to throw him in jail.
98. K-U-P-D.
I forgot about this, but Tom Pop was here a couple years ago and nicknamed you Double Cheeseburger, and
yeah,
I don't know why.
Double just, Cheeseburger.
Yeah, Brady remembered it because it hurt him. I didn't remember it at all because it didn't affect me whatsoever.
It's devastating.
It was a term of endearment.
I guess. Tom Pop is here. He's at Stand Up Live this weekend, 480-719-6100 if you want to go, standuplive.com.
Yeah.
Tom Papa. He has his book. You're doing a book signing.
Yeah, I'll have my books there.
Yeah. Well, that's a good idea.
Your dad stole my rake.
Yeah. And other family dilemmas.
Yeah.
And on the front of this, I have to talk to you about the book because I bought the book.
What time is the signing?
Yeah, when are you doing it?
Each show.
Aren't you doing one at Changing
Oh,
Hands?
Oh, I'm also doing, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I mean, I'm at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
So, at the bookstore.
Hang out with Tom Pop out there. It's on 3rd Avenue and Camelback. It's a great restaurant attached to that called Southern Rail.
Oh, all right. That's perfect. I'm going to do that. I'm going to eat there after the book signing or maybe before.
I just let them
Depends what I have for breakfast. Let me see. But I don't want to be too full for the show later.
Yeah. You don't want to overdo it and you don't want to underdo it.
Yeah.
You ruin your whole day.
Yeah.
Make smart decisions, Tom.
But yes, thanks for reminding me of that.
I bought the book. And because I knew you were coming, I didn't do it because I'm like some diligent research guy who does all his guests. I'm not that guy.
No, you're not.
But I saw it sitting there, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he's coming next week. And I read the front of the cover of your book, and on the front, I love this. It says, there's a quote on it. It says, he is really one of my favorite people, Jerry Seinfeld.
Uh-huh.
Which is a really nice thing for Jerry to have said. Your friends with Jerry Seinfeld have been for a long time.
Right.
But the best part is that there's probably several people who've said that about you.
Uh-huh.
But then you had to like rank – who's the most important person who likes you and put it on the front of your book.
Who is next up?
You know,
yeah.
Isn't that
totally
weird?
No, like Jim Gaffigan's on there.
Yeah, but not on the cover.
Jane Lynch.
Not on the cover.
And Steven Soderbergh didn't even make the printing because they were late.
Really?
But it is that kind of a thing where you ask these people. They're all busy, nice. You know, I know them all, but still, you know, it's an ask.
Yeah.
And then you have to like, all right, but we all know Jerry's the biggest, right?
Jerry's the one who's the most important person who likes me.
Come on.
You have to rank your most important likes me friends.
Right.
But
totally.
I don't have in life. That's only celebrity.
That was another call, right? Jim, sorry, you didn't make the cover.
No, I didn't tell him. Just sent him a book and let him quietly see it and never bring it up.
Because if like Jim Belushi unsolicited wrote a beautiful flowery thing about you.
Right.
And in the end it said, this is one of the greatest people on the planet and I love him with all my heart and soul.
I'd put it in my pocket.
It would never ever be on the cover of your book because it's nice. But
I'd put it in my junk drawer and every once in a while see it. Oh, thanks, Jim.
Jim Belushi likes me a lot. That means nothing.
It just means nothing to know nobody else.
It's not like Jerry Seinfeld.
Nobody else cares.
It just cracked me up because I'm like, you had to do that because you know that's going to push better.
It's like the popular kid in school.
Yeah.
If, like the really popular kid likes you, you have a chance of getting more friends.
Yeah.
If you're just friends with a kid with no friends, you're not your only, he's going to be your only friend.
It's great.
You don't lead with that.
The reason also that I think it's good I didn't read your book
uh-huh.
is because about a week and a half ago, I was handpicked to do an interview with John Travolta here in town. Like
Ooh.
There was like three people on radio that they're like, you and you and you are going to do it. John Travolta's in town. He wants to do an interview to promote the movie Gotti, which is coming out today.
Yeah, that's right.
So I said, sure, that's great. So you get like 7 minutes with John Travolta or whatever.
Wow.
Which a lot of people have done in the past and filed a lawsuit. Anyway, so they send you a copy of Gotti, which turned out to be one of the worst movies I've ever watched in my life.
No.
And I told Rich, the producer, I'm like, we got to do something about this because he's here to promote that movie. And I don't want to be the inauthentic jerk that goes in and plays nice with him and then says, by the way, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
After we play the tape-delayed interview, it makes me a jerk. So I just canceled it. I'm like,
you did.
Maybe I'll meet him another time. I can't be that fake.
Wow, good for you.
So then I started thinking, what if I'd have read your book?
Same thing.
Hated it, and then here we are staring at each other. Yeah, so it's good. It's good I don't read. Just in
but
case.
But we knew more about what Tom could bring.
Well, because I'm also an opinionated jerk.
Yeah.
So there's a problem there.
You would like it.
Yeah,
you're going to like
sure
it.
I'm pretty sure I would.
If someone reads it to you, you're really going to like it. Hey, well, where did you buy it?
Which is our other idea.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Will you read this book to me, Tom Papa, please?
That's why I'm here. Yeah. And it only takes 9 hours to do the audio version.
Did you do it?
Yeah, 9 hours.
9 hours. Are there parts when you're doing your own book, you're like, this sucks?
No, but you do see, you know, you constantly edit and peel it back and peel it back. And
really?
You know, so you can always find something wrong, something you want to make
better. Especially when it's your own.
Totally.
You're going to be extra hard on it.
Yeah, and at a certain point, you just have to hand it over, and then you sit there and you're reading it for 9 hours, and you're like, oh, I could do better on that line. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's never perfect.
Hey, where did you buy it?
I bought it at the place we're doing the book signing.
I went to dinner at
Southern Rail, and
right.
then we went to a cannabis conference.
Nice.
I've recently started a pot habit, mild. Never done it before, so I'm giving it a run.
Oh, I'd love to talk about that. But I do, because I retired, and I want to come back.
You want to do it again?
Yeah. So wait, you come back into the store,
yep.
and there's a little display, and you walk.
Right there.
Nice.
And I'm like, I know that guy.
Oh, that's so great.
I didn't know you had a book out.
I like this anecdote just because it's so weird that I have a book.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, hey, yeah. I wonder what he's got to say. There's a lot of words. And I will say this, that one of the things that sold me is because as I look at books, I realize this is my thing. I like the cover.
Yeah.
I open it up. Big print.
Uh-huh.
That's a win.
Yeah.
For me. And then it came with a bookmark.
Ooh.
Which, because I know I'm not going to throw it in one shot.
I had nothing to do with the bookmark.
No, the bookmark was just a nice little push. I'm like, you know what? It's meant for me.
Yeah.
It's meant for me. But I'm glad I didn't read it just in case I'm like, ooh, I would have done this different. Because I'm I have no idea what a good book is.
You would like it. It'll make you laugh.
Yeah,
you like stand up. You'll like
it's essays, right?
It's like, essays. Kind of, yeah. It's everybody in your family. Perfect for Father's Day.
Yes.
And you can bounce around. It goes from cousins to aunts and uncles. There's a thing about the first time I got high in there, actually.
Is there?
When I was 10 years old at a wedding, and I was trying to...
10?
We just wanted to hang out with the cool kids. We didn't know why they would take... Like, the cool kids would leave the wedding. We're like, where do they go? Where are these... And me and my cousin Robert...
Your little brother, did you
know? My cousin Robert. We were sitting there in our little suits, you know, like with our Shirley Temples, like trying to make eye contact with the older guys. And my cousins were like, all right, come with us. We're like, oh, we're going. They're taking us outside. This is going to be great. We'll probably play football. And they sat in their car, their Ford Mustang, and they told us to lean in. So we leaned in the windows, one on each side, and they zipped up my little tie hanging. And they start to break out weed and start like this a big, big bud.
Huge
and
one.
Start rolling it. And we're like, oh, this is what they do out here. Yeah. we had no idea what was going
plants.
On. Then they smoked it and just blew it in our face like dogs.
And you got cooked.
And it worked.
And it worked. We were so high. And
how long did the habit last?
It for about 30 years.
That's a good first initiation. Man.
Yeah.
And why did you stop?
I stopped because I wasn't funny anymore on it.
Really?
I wasn't as motivated.
On that?
I wasn't as dependent on it.
It was just a habit.
It was just a habit. That it was getting in the way of my comedy. I was less motivated, and I wasn't as sharp.
No kidding.
It wasn't like in the beginning. Like now, I don't smoke, but
yeah.
And if I do smoke, I keep a notebook near me because it's like doing it for the first time, where you're just popping off ideas, and it's like, it's awesome. Yeah. But so I stopped and really just wanted a clear head, and really did help. It just kind of dialed me in, and I was successful since then. But now
you were back on it.
I feel like it's legal in my state. You can go to the corner and buy it like a donut.
They're begging you to do it.
They're begging you to do it.
Yeah.
And I want to get back into it. And I'm thinking maybe just a little bit. Like maybe just a
start
tiny.
Slow.
But then I got edibles.
That's okay.
And I was like, ugh. I hate sitting around wondering if I'm high.
Yeah, that's the bad part of edibles. It takes like an hour and a half. I'm like, should I take another one now?
Is
that going to be too much?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't have that much time.
Right.
I'm sneaking this in between my daughter's like recital and carpool.
Yeah.
I need to go.
You can't just find out you're cranked out of your mind 2 hours afterwards. Like, oh, no, I'm driving.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And the paranoia that people have about the edibles, it's the older people.
Yeah.
That the
totally.
Kids are going to get a hold of it. You're a parent.
Right.
Well, it is gummy bears.
It is,
yeah.
It is. It does look fun.
It does. And if I was at someone's house and they were in a jar, I'd eat the whole jar.
Yeah.
Because they're tasty gummy bears.
I love gummy bears. Who doesn't love gummy bears?
I know, especially the really sugary ones. And these taste a little weird. Like,
I do like the smell. I have some like just in my travel kit, just the flour.
Yeah.
And, I literally don't have time to do it.
Yeah.
Like, by the time I get off with my show and I got like press in the morning, I just don't have time. But I just open that cap and smell it.
Yeah.
It just makes me warm inside.
Close enough. It's like a good
therapy.
Memories of that wedding.
Yeah.
Are those people still together, the wedding of the 10-year-old?
Yes, they're still together.
That's the worst sentence I've ever said, the wedding of the 10-year-old.
The 10-year-olds, they got married?
Yeah,
they're still together?
Hey, love is love.
Yeah. Hey, if you meet in fourth, you can't help it. If you meet in fourth grade and it's going to stick, you make it stick. I also love it inside on the jacket because that's as far as I've gotten. It says, anyone who has a family or grew up in a family will love this book.
Yeah.
So you've pretty much everybody.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
Whether you have have a family, made a family, or trying to get away from your family.
What is
if you're a human being.
Oh, and the one chapter I haven't read yet, but I'm excited about, is Cousins Will Ruin Your Life.
That's the Get High one.
I have a
that's the one. Get High one.
I have a theory that after 40, you can dismiss all your cousins forever.
You can.
And it won't affect you at all.
You won't notice.
Not at all. None. they shouldn't be part of your lives after a certain time. 40 is the cutoff.
Yeah,
cousins. It's easy. It's a lot easier just to see them once or twice a year.
Yeah. I have one on Facebook who lives in Hawaii and is not very intelligent. I don't know if they were in an accident or something, but they're always like, I did Colbert the other night, and he wrote, and this is how all his messages go, proud cousin doing Jay Leno, always going, great. I'm like, oh, geez.
All right, just let it go.
I don't know. Yeah.
You know how you know you're not that close with that cousin? You're not sure if he was in an accident.
Right.
You're not positive he's got brain damage.
Nothing has changed since the wedding.
It doesn't really matter if he's cousins or not.
It really
doesn't. He may have significant brain trauma.
And I had no.
I haven't followed.
Was he the one with the giant bud at the wedding?
No, that guy's still around. Yeah. That guy's still cool. I do have cousins that I do keep in touch with.
Right. But for the most part, you can dismiss all of them if you need to.
Even the ones I really love, you're right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
if I stopped calling, that would be it, and you probably wouldn't notice.
And they may be trying to dismiss you.
Yeah.
Because you're a cousin. It's just more people that use the word family.
How far can this go?
Yeah, it's
I know.
You
know.
Plus, you've got money.
Yeah. Like, you're more than a friend.
Our
but
mom
you're,
and dad were linked, but let's...
how far are we going to go with
you're
this?
You're forced to be more than a friend.
Yeah.
I think there's a guilt pressure for friendship.
But don't you think there is a blood thing about it? Like, when I brought my daughters around their cousins, like when we were living away from them, you know, and they hadn't seen each other in a year, and they just get back together. When they're little, little.
I suppose.
And there was just like an instinctual thing to like these people.
But it's important. I think that's just taught. Like, if you got along with your cousins growing up, you're like, I need to do this with my daughter. You know?
But wouldn't think that if you just brought them back to a room of kids that are about the same age, the same exact thing would happen?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe I'm putting it on them. Maybe I'm looking through it through my family filter like, they love them because it's family.
They don't know.
They're talking to a mannequin at Nordstrom's.
Right.
And like,
they may have had trauma.
The same affection.
Yeah, because if you brought a little person into a room of other little people, they're going to bond with them.
Yes.
That's how I look at cousins. They're just all a bunch of little people I'm trying to avoid.
But you don't bring
just people
them around
that can help you get on
much.
The counter.
Exactly. Somebody will give me a boost.
Someone will give me a little piggyback ride.
Tom Papa's here, stand up live. 480-719-6100 if you want to go standuplive.com. It's Papa for Father's Day. I'm not sure they intended to do that.
Yeah, it just kind of worked out that way.
But your kids and your family are not here.
No.
So you're avoiding them for Father's Day.
Yeah.
Smart.
Come on, Father's Day. The greatest gift is loneliness.
It's beautiful. I wish that was a card for real. I would give that to my dad.
That just spilled out of me.
Yeah.
That should have been the title of the book.
I would give that card to my father.
I think I have a second book in me.
It would have like a cartoon bear on the front for no reason. Inside, the greatest gift is loneliness.
Right.
I'm not coming over.
What do you want to do for Father's Day? Well.
Leave me alone.
That's right. Well, that's so you're avoiding your family for Father's Day because you'll get a gift. It'll be there when you get home.
I'll get home on Father's Day.
How old are your kids?
16, just turned 16 yesterday, and 13.
No kidding.
Two girls,
and you're getting along. There's no rebel.
They're so sweet. They're so nice. They're so, the 13 will be trouble.
Yeah.
She's revving up. She's a bit of a mean girl, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's
I didn't know they really existed, and now, like, I made
one. There's one in your
house. Yeah, I feed it.
And you feel
I'm keeping it alive.
And the 16-year-old's got guys floating around now.
One guy.
Oh, boy.
She's taking her time. She's a smart kid.
Good.
She had this funny kid where this one kid came around. We didn't know she wasn't really showing interest. And then, like, all of a sudden, she's going out with this guy. And she had a little film she had to make for school. And she cast him in it as the love interest.
Uh-oh.
And that she had to kiss.
They wrote
like,
in
she
a
totally
kiss.
Harvey Weinstein, this poor kid.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, Lena. She's like, it's okay. And he's like this kind of cool haircut that's down into his eyes. It looks like one of the like the boyfriend in Lady Bird, like the cool kid.
Oh, yeah, he's got the.
I forget his name, but yeah, she has a crush on him, and he looked kind of similar. So she goes out with him, and it's kind of going all right. I meet him; he's kind of fine, you know. I don't care, and
I don't.
Then he cuts his hair, and she dumps
him.
He's
out. It was the hair she left.
Got rid of the hair.
Dumped him immediately.
Oh my God! Do you think that has something to do with the father?
What?
Do you have a less hair? It reminded me too much. Don't look at me like that. Just look at me, for God's sake. You're practically Grizzly Adams compared to me.
He's good at it.
I'm just saying, it's one of those things where you start to say, he looks too much like my dad.
Like my dad.
Yeah. Like the one difference was this huge mop.
There were more differences than
that. Were
there?
Yeah. Are you sure?
He has good eyesight. His skin is okay. He doesn't fall down steps.
Oh, you're struggling with that? Is that a thing now?
Yeah, because I have these progressives.
Oh, geez.
And so I could see the moon. And then I can see you, and then I can read, and then they stop, and I don't see where I'm walking, and I'm like stepping down steps like Mr. Magoo. I really am. It's horrible. I'm like, can someone show me the way to the stage? I don't think I'm going to make it.
Oh, man, I'm so glad I don't have kids, though, because the 16-year-old girl thing scares me for you.
Yeah.
Kid, I've always had a theory. I tell Brady he's got a daughter, and I'm like, the best thing you can do is the first boy that comes to the house, you show him a sex tape of you and how she was conceived. You sit them both down and say, hey, kids, I want to just make sure. I know you're thinking about this. Let me show you how
it's done.
Hold
off for a couple of years.
And if you ever see your parents having sex with the guy that may be the one that's going to try to take it from you, it's off for at least a year. You've bought a year.
You bought a year.
You bought 1 year.
It's like forcing a kid to smoke a cigarette
exactly.
when they're little.
Exactly. I think of it the exact same. You smoke the whole pack. You watch mom. This is the day she was conceived, our sweet little angel. And watch this.
It's a weird thing, though. Like at 16, I feel like – you know, whatever. You know, she wants to go, you know. I want her to be safe. I don't
right, right.
And I'm not going to be – I don't want her to have a weird thing with men either, so I'm not going to stand in the way and be
the guy
boorish.
Screaming every
yelling at her and stuff. I want her to be free and keep talking to her and stuff. And I realize, like, now, like 16, we're at a point where it's like, okay, that can happen. 13 – you know, the trouble one.
Yeah, the one
that one. I just
got
to get through about 2-3 years. I can't have
her
making mistakes.
So, like cousin, 16, you can dismiss your children.
Totally. And you'll never notice.
And they won't care. I think she may have had trauma.
Yeah.
I haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, no, I don't know. She sends me funny emails. What's
at
that?
At least that's good. My daughter's at, she's 9.
Uh-huh.
And most of the people are saying, oh, just wait for the teen years. Just wait. When they start to hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not happening. I feel like, you know, we're funny people.
Yeah.
You're honest people. If you keep talking to them, they keep them close and they're going to
–
it's when – I think it's when you work and you're not funny and you're hard and you don't pay attention to them, then it kind of happens and you didn't notice it and now you're in this relationship.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, you're always going to call her out on stuff when it happens. Be like, oh, is this – are we going through the mean girl phase? Is that coming up?
Are we doing that now?
Oh, is that what's happening now?
Like, is that
what
a
am
thing?
I supposed to do again? Do I have supposed to stand on the lawn with a rake and yell?
You know, scream at people?
Whatever it is. Like if you call out the situation.
See, I think I'm just so paranoid if I ever had kids. I'm so used to teen girls hating me my entire life.
Yeah.
That eventually
brings
that
back
happen.
Bad
yeah, it
memories.
It brings back my entire childhood.
That is a funny.
Teen girls did not like me.
Yeah.
So why would they now?
Why would they now? Now the new improved version.
Right, the one that seems to think he's got
the
it figured
that
out.
Knows.
They still hate me. I'm like, God damn it. It's the same. It's always been. And her friends hate me too. I can't win.
And then
that
you
bad.
Still try. You still throw another joke out.
Throwing little jabs.
The only reason she's here is she likes my Jeep.
Yeah, she didn't get my Carson reference. It's the same thing as high school. I had a Jeep in high school. They all rode with me, and everybody thought I was the king of high school. And these girls just wanted to ride in a cool car.
Oh. Yeah,
I was a chauffeur.
That's all right. I'm sure it worked.
And it didn't.
It didn't ever?
No, I failed miserably. I made
really?
Friends with all of them. And then the next thing you know, I've got a carload of girls and their boyfriends, and I'm driving them.
Oh, no.
I might as well have been named Jeeves.
Oh, Jeeves. I can't see where I'm going.
Yeah, you and I, we're all over the map.
At least you can drive.
At least you have a car.
The worst one was I had to pick a girl up who I had a crush on. We became friends, and then she's like, will you do me a favor? And I went and picked up her boyfriend who was in college. He had a car,
and I
drove them someplace.
Oh, man.
And then they started, like, making out on the couch, and I'm watching a movie at some kid's house.
Whacking.
I did later. I saw some stuff.
In the Jeep where they were sitting. Just for revenge.
That was great, guys.
You will sit in my filth. That's my payback.
This turned really dark
really
fast.
It did get weird fast, but, you know, honesty is important.
It is.
You
we'll
have a TV
them
show.
Out.
You have a TV show coming out now.
I have a TV show coming
out. Let's have at it.
It's hilarious.
What is it going to be?
It's on the Food Network. It's called Baked.
Nirvana? Oh,
see, I like this already.
I started baking sourdough bread like 3 years ago. Okay. I learned how to make sourdough bread out of this culture. Like, it's living yeast. Ugh. It's basically, it's called a sourdough starter or a mother. What's that?
Oh, I thought it was called a wart.
A wart, maybe.
Something like that.
Maybe. There's a lot of different weird names for it. Yeah. And it's a living thing. You got to feed it flour and water every day and keep it alive, and you make bread off of it. Anyway, I got really good at it. I can make these amazing breads.
Really?
And I started posting it online. It took off online. The New York Times was doing this article on sourdough starters, and they took a picture of me with my starter.
Really?
And my friends back east were like, what are you doing out there? Why are you in the food section? I thought you told jokes for a living. So it just kind of caught on. And when I would travel, I would go visit bakeries and stuff just to learn and kind of meet them and stuff. And I just got really into it. And the Food Network asked if I would do a show doing that, traveling around, talking to bakers.
The face of bread.
I'm going to be the face of bread and carbs and all the stuff that people are trying to say is bad for you.
Real Papa Dough.
Life is short. You got to enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
so
So
it's going to start on Labor Day.
And what is the show? It's just you.
It's called Baked. I go to different cities and I visit like four or five different places, meet the families that make it.
Wow.
And they show me how to do it. And you see this amazing, amazing stuff.
Our program director would just be in here a minute. He's been working on bagels for years, but his dad started a bakery.
Wow. That's the thing.
A great bakery in Phoenix for years, and then Larry's taken all of the recipes. He makes them at his house.
And just does it at home.
He does like 13 bagels in like 10 days because evidently it's such a process.
That is the thing. Like, you go into these bakers, they're like, I'd spend 3 days on a loaf of bread.
Right.
They're like, boom, 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 50
You don't have time to smoke pot?
Yeah, right.
You're making bread for days on end, and you can't just take 1 minute to just hit a gummy?
Well, my kids are around. That's the problem.
They won't know.
Yeah, you're right.
That sounds great.
So, yeah, it's really fun. And, you know, the people are the coolest because, you know, very few a-holes decide I'm going to get into baking cookies for the community. You know what I mean? They're all good people.
Yeah, you're avoiding a certain section of society.
Yeah.
The gang member that makes cookies. You're not feeling threatened at all by this.
Yeah. So,
but it's a big task, though, to make baking bread entertaining.
Well, it's everything. So, like, we come into a town and we hit the guy that makes the pizza dough and makes pizza. And we hit the person that does sticky buns, donuts.
Wow.
You know, different ethnic foods, you know, rainbow cookies with Italian stuff. I mean, it's just
Are you those guys
everything
baked. Punch keys.
You're one of those people that can just jam food in their mouth and not, or do you, because I couldn't do a cooking show. I would hate a good majority of food.
Oh, really?
I don't mind. I can eat most anything, but I don't like risking it. If it's new, I'm going to be tentative.
Kind of a garbage can.
You'll go after.
I'll eat anything. Okay. I figure out what things are by eating them.
Really?
Right?
Oh, that can be dangerous.
Yeah. No, I'm like,
nope, the dog accident.
I'm not sure. Right. Oh, well, that's not food at all.
This
not
might chocolate. Surprise you. We have that in common.
Yeah.
This is your future.
Yeah. I actually bought a new backpack that can fit running shoes in it.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can run from the bread?
So I don't get diabetes from making a TV show. Yeah.
I mean, when does this start?
It starts Labor Day.
Now, do you do the thing, because this is my pet peeve with cooking and eating. See, this is why I can't read books and tell you the truth. You just told me you're very excited about this.
You have a lot of issues.
Prepare for a wet blanket. I can't watch eating shows because at the end, no one ever goes, yuck, everything's delicious. And then they stare at the camera and they go, you can really taste the meat.
Although if you watch them enough.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they never hate it.
You can tell a little bit.
You can, but you have to,
but
they fake it. So then I don't feel like anybody's being authentic and it's all garbage.
I did eat one. There was one thing. I mean, the good thing is most of this stuff is, you know, off the charts. It's baked goods. So it's like, you know.
You can't miss, right?
Yeah. But I did eat this one thing that was a little weird. Like, it was the buildup seemed like it was going to be great. Right. And then I ate it. And I was like, huh.
Do you say something?
No, I can't shit on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't say that either.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. You can't crap on it.
I just did. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
And the cleanest comedian curses on your head.
Exactly. And, I was going to say, you're Tom Papa. who's replaced Tom Papa with this foul mouth?
I don't even
person.
Say that in my act.
You've got a baker's mouth.
I'm very tired. So I don't... I think you have to see when you watch those shows, it's the lack of enthusiasm
is
tells you
but
what
why
it
not
is.
Just say, I don't like this?
Would
it hurt the old lady's feelings who made you
probably,
the dishki or whatever
probably.
It is?
Probably. We just spent 10 minutes on the air talking about this place and saying where it is and then saying don't go.
See, this is why I couldn't interview Travolta. Because you better fake face than I do. I would act like I'm eating something I hate. I hated your movie.
You're exactly right. I would have done the Travolta interview.
Yeah, you would have done it.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't have done it.
I would have done it. I probably wouldn't have said it was a great movie.
But that's what they were. But that was so. It's the same thing. Like you come here, and the sole purpose is to promote this book, and I hated the book.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have you on. That's not fair to you, and it's not fair to me. Right?
No, you're right.
Yeah. So, and then at the end, I'm like, it's a great book, and the people are like, I read the book. It's awful. I'm like, I know.
Yes, that's the thing. When I start as a comedian, and I would host shows at the Comedy Cellar, there'd be 12 people on the show.
Right.
And, you know, you're just trying to get them going, and you know the next guy isn't that great.
Yeah.
You're like, come on, guys. Make a lot of noise. This next guy's a great comedian. You're going to love him. He's so funny.
Arnold.
And he comes up and lays an egg, and then the audience doesn't trust you the rest of the night.
The whole night,
said that guy was good.
You have to say it about everybody. So I want to do a cooking show called The Honest Baker.
Yeah.
They're like, ugh, yeah. Lady, you need to quit your job.
Call and then some food sucks.
Yeah, and you leave the town anyway. What do you care?
See ya. Just put them out of business.
Just hanging out the window, spitting bread out.
It might be hard to do a season two of that.
Well,
you know what, though? You got the confident people at that point.
Yeah.
They'll know that their stuff is worth it. Tom Papa likes it.
We dare you to say that this is bad. Yeah, it actually isn't so bad.
No, because that's the reason I can't watch it. I hate when people will sit and tell me the flavors of a hamburger. Cooking shows are like, oh, you really taste the bacon and the bread and the meat.
That's the hardest part for me. At the end, you eat it, and they're like, tell us more description.
Break it down.
Tell us, because people at home want to know what it tastes like.
Because the only people
and I'm like, I don't know. It tastes like a hamburger.
Right.
It's telling you, it's good.
Yeah,
I like
it's good.
The taste.
It's cheesy. It's hot. Yeah. It's in my mouth. What more do you want?
I'm chewing.
It has a hint of rosemary. I can't do it. I can't do it.
And all cooking shows have that moment where the host takes a bite and the camera jumps in on it. The only people impressed by this are in Africa.
Some people do a good job at describing it.
I mean, it is a research-based thing that you take people through this journey of making this food, and they don't get to taste it.
Right.
And they do complain, like, well, tell it. It's like porn in a way. It's like,
come on.
Like, tell us what. Yeah. It is.
Well, give
but
it
I
to
have
me.
To say, if you're getting back into a weed habit, this is going to be a good show for you.
Okay.
Just watching slow motion sticky buns coming out of the oven.
You sold me. I'm sold.
Donuts going down the lazy river of oil.
Oh.
Done, right?
Yeah, all right. I don't even need weed for that. That sounds great. I just don't need you eating it and looking at me going, it's good. No, it's not.
Donut lazy river.
And now I'm going to watch just to see if you actually are enthusiastic.
You can tell.
All right.
Pick off when, I'll come back after when I'm running around.
Is there a food that you can, hint us with?
No.
Ah, damn it.
No. I'm not going to hint it. I want to
see
how. See
if I'm perceptive.
See how phony I am.
It's not you.
Am I a good actor or not a good actor?
It's not that you're phony. It's that you're kind of.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I live in L.A. I'm trying to get on TV. I have a show about bread. I'm doing whatever I can. Kissing whatever ass I have.
What a show. Pays the bills.
Making bread.
If I have to chunk down gross bread, I'm going to do it for the check. Tom Papa at Stand Up Live all weekend. 480-719-6100. StandUpLive.com. You got your book signing tomorrow at Changing Hands over there on 3rd Avenue. And Camelback, which is right next to a great restaurant called Southern Real.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely go there. And I also have books at the shows.
Okay.
So,
great.
Because it's a big Father's Day weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be signing books after each of my shows.
There you go.
Also.
And right on the cover, a very important friend tells you. You're one of his favorites. Would you say that for Jerry? Do you think Jerry would use you?
No.
No. Isn't that awful?
No.
That's just
That's a
terrible
a good
thing.
Question.
Yeah. Would
yeah.
Jerry
Who
put
would
you on the
use?
Cover? He would, Larry David.
Who do you use? Yeah, he'd use Larry.
But Larry wouldn't say anything.
Obama and
oh.
Oprah.
You're screwed.
There's
you're
no way.
You're way down the list.
It's the funny reverse where I'm asking, can I write a blurb? Every author is like, oh, I hate asking people for a blurb. I'm like, hey, I got blurbs for you.
Did Jerry actually write the blurb or did you say, can I put a blurb up?
He did. Well,
he
if
did.
You read if you read the back of it.
Oh, that's a lot.
It's funny because that he ends with, he's my favorite person, but the rest of it, he's just...
I've been a close friend of Tom Papa 17 years. No, it's just your...
He's abusing me.
He's just crushing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
Okay, it says, I've been a close friend of Tom Papa's for 17 years. His lack of ability to perceive even the most basic principles of human functioning has made him an invaluable asset to me as a friend and colleague. Because he sees nothing, knows nothing, and understands nothing. I always seek his advice for the most complex matters. Furthermore, I would definitely recommend whatever the name of this book is, because I know it comes from a place of pure nonsense without any knowledge of anything. He is really one of my favorite people. And you put that on the front.
I put that
that's
on the
glorious.
Front.
You know, that's perfect. So we did actually write it, because I had a friend just say, yeah. He's got his album coming out, and he goes, you said something really cool about it. Would you do a thing? And I'm like, just whatever.
Right.
And he wrote this big flowery thing that would never fall out of my mouth.
Right.
And the blurb would have been, don't you hate cooking shows when they act like, right. Like they think yeah. It's good, but you don't know.
You know I love you guys, but I would never ask you for a blurb.
Right. Well, it wouldn't matter. Right. Like, you're in deep trouble if we're the blurb. Yeah. Well, can I put
Three
you on the cover?
Thumbs up. Double cheeseburger.
Let me just tell
double
you.
Double cheeseburger, yeah. I would ask. Double well, cheeseburger's all over that yeah. Book.
And I believe when Brady puts it in his mouth, it's delicious.
Yeah, he's not lying.
No, whatever it is.
And yeah, because he likes everything.
He'll eat it. Tom, leave us with some words of wisdom. I always make people do that. Something that the world can take with them all weekend long or perhaps through Father's Day or something.
Stop watching so much news.
You think? Yeah, that's
turn
a good,
it
that's
off.
Great
yeah,
advice.
You're a human being. We're very lucky to be alive right now. We're the first generation that doesn't have to fight for survival. But we're also the first generation that's being wow. Inundated with bad news 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
There was a time... A man would walk into the town square as the town crier. Hear ye, Jane has syphilis. The cows are milking. Go about your day. And that was it. You don't need news 24 hours a day. It's not healthy. Get it, stay informed, but move on
that
and live your
be,
life.
That should be a moment for...
Do the Jane has syphilis again.
Yeah.
Jane has syphilis.
You said you wanted to
The best thing is Fox News could do that like on the hour every hour. If you don't want to watch a full hour, just yeah. The town crier shoots out three or four things you need to know.
That's all you need.
That's great advice.
Don't go down the wormhole.
Great advice. Because we're not in that bad a shape.
No, live
everybody's
your life.
This isn't so bad. Because I had my grandpa, I always tell the story. My grandpa was 12 years old, had polio, and had to quit school in the sixth grade to work in a pipe fitting factory so his family could eat. And we complained that the world's yeah. No good
and
now.
And his dad whipped yeah. Him to sleep.
He lived in Pennsylvania. God. He had one arm and worked in, and had to quit school.
Oh, my God. My things Wi-Fi okay. Connection's bad.
Exactly. Wah. Thank you. And we watched a video this morning of professional wrestlers playing tug of war with a lion. Things are not that bad.
Right.
We've got time on our hands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. It's perfect. Tom Papa this
enjoy
weekend
it.
At Stand Up Live. One of the best you'll ever see. That is a guarantee. It's 480-719-6100. Thanks. Thanks, Tom, as always.
Oh, as always.
There you go. It's 98.
This is bad. Bad, bad, bad.
That's a joke, right? You're joking?